how to approach God in prayer. When you really look at it, one of the most important subjects that we can deal with. This is part 5, praying through the Bible. Message, sermon, Wednesday, number 470 in a row. 470 Wednesdays that we've been dealing with this series, praying through the Bible. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. Having therefore, brethren, let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Thank you, folks. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. One of the most difficult things, one of the most difficult things that proud, sinful human beings can do is to understand and to rest in and to walk in the fact that Jesus Christ paid it all. But if you don't understand that, if you don't get that, if you don't live in that, then you're going to always struggle going to the throne of grace boldly. You're going to always struggle with the fact that you have to deal with sin in your life after you get saved. You're going to always struggle with guilt, because in your pride and in your stubbornness and in your sinful nature, you always feel like you have to do something to take care of the problem, when all you need to do is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you mess up, confess up, he's already paid for your sins, and with his help and by his grace, you need to repent. You don't need to keep doing the same thing over and over again, even though sometimes you will have a struggle. God knows all about it. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Holy Father God, I do praise you and thank you, Lord, for the season of prayer that you have blessed us to have already this morning. And Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer, the power of prayer, and the peace that comes through prayer. And thank you, Lord, for inviting us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And because of your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose on the third day by your power, and now is interceding at your right hand for us. And so no wonder, Lord, you invite us to come, not just come to your throne of grace, but to come boldly because of the shed blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And so, Holy Father God, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your love, your mercy and your grace and your throne of grace. And Lord, I thank you for teaching me a long time ago and many others that just because we can come to your throne of grace, that does not mean we can sin and continue in sin. For you've said in your word, God forbid. And Lord, so help people to understand that part and realize that part. Because so many have been taught wrong over the past 30 to 60 years. And that's why we're in the mess we're in today. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made all of these things possible. And I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and many and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us all. And Holy Father God, help us all boldly but humbly go to your throne of grace, for when you tell us to come boldly, you do not want us to come proudly but humbly. And so help us to do that as we individually and hopefully collectively confess our sins, our failures, and our faults. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us, Lord, of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Wash and cleanse our hearts and minds, our evil consciences, in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make us whiter than snow on the inside. And Lord, make us fit for prayer and fit for your use and fit for your blessings. For Lord, I am convinced you want to bless us more than we want to be blessed. As the psalmist has said, we limit ourselves. We limit ourselves. We're so caught up in our sinful nature and sin and pride and stubbornness and rebelliousness and foolishness, that we limit ourselves. We cause ourselves not to be blessed by the one and only loving God. For if you would give up your Son for us, it is a small thing for you to give us anything that our heart desires if we're ready for it. So thank you for that grace. Thank you for that love. Thank you for that mercy. Thank you for your peace and your joy and the fruit of the Spirit for those of us who are saved. Now, Lord, we pray that you would crush and crucify our flesh afresh and anew. For our hearts are desperately wicked, as you told us, who can know it? And fill those of us who are saved here and beyond here with the fullness, the power, the unction, and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. And Lord God in heaven, we know that the devil is fighting us hard. He's very upset about these services and about all of the podcasts that we do and send all over the world. And he's very mad at us. But Holy Father God, thank you for blessing us right on. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that however you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias, Lord, out of the people here and out of the people elsewhere who hate you and who hate your gospel. I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts from us today and from all others who will try to pray today and have a prayer meeting. And Lord, we pray that you would cast out the devil and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias, and all of these demonic spirits that hate you and your gospel. Cast out, Lord, all of the sins that come from these spirits, hindrance and distraction. Betrayal and sabotage. Pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness, witchcraft, bad attitudes, bad spirits, grieving and quenching your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you would give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil again today. Pave the way for us. Open up doors for us. Thank you for what you've already done this morning and throughout our lives. And Lord, I pray that you will save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, heal those who are sick, comfort those who are grieving. Around the globe today, as the world is falling apart because of our sin and foolishness. Thank you for your mercy and grace still. And thank you, Lord, for loving us so much that you rebuke and chasten us. And we need it, and I pray that you would be thorough with us. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And save that soul that's nearest hell. Revive every backslidden Christian. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. I hope that you have been to the throne of grace this morning. It's the best place to be in the whole universe. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "No prayer ever reaches God's heart which does not come from our hearts." And that's a fact. And this is why I tell people all of the time, pray what you mean what you pray. And if you get distracted, and you will, because the devil is trying to distract you, you go back to the point of remembrance. Meaning, you go back to the point where you were concentrating in your prayer. And make sure you're praying to God and you're not playing. Don't just say words. Mean what you say. You don't have to pray long, but when you pray, make sure you mean what you pray. And you pray what you mean, and you believe in God, and you trust in God, and you have faith in God. One of the most striking sentences that Jesus made was when he said, have faith in God, period. Have faith in God. Beloved, in our last message in this series, we looked at how we must approach God with a true heart, a pure heart, a right heart. And by the way, folks, I hope you realize in the church that it is time to stop playing and start praying. I hope you realize that now. Because things are getting worse and worse and not better and better. You can keep on allowing yourself to be distracted and feel like everything is getting back to normal all you want to. In real life, things are getting worse and worse. People are walking into grocery stores now, shocked at the empty shelves and the phony ways that the grocery store people are trying to fill shelves up. It's all over Twitter. And a man said this morning that the inflation is far, far worse than what people are saying and what some people believe. He said to the point that it endangers society. Out in the ocean, and I can't imagine being in this situation. I don't like to be in a traffic jam. If I can go around, I like to keep moving. If it takes me another half hour to get to where I'm going, let me keep moving. But we have a situation out in the Pacific Ocean where a record has been broken. They have over 100 ships waiting to get into the port, and they can't because there's nobody there to pick up the stuff. The coronavirus plague has had that kind of impact. Nobody thought it would, but it has. That's bad news. And I feel sorry for the people on the ships. Now, I have never been on one of those ships that carry the big old truck carts or whatever they have there that they just unload at the dock and people just pick up and go, I guess. I don't know how comfortable they are out there. But I can't imagine being out where, you know, the ocean is so deep. A storm could come, and just sitting out in the ocean, to me, like sitting ducks. For a hurricane could come or anything, and sink the ship, and they packed those ships all the way to the brim. It's amazing. But knowing me, I would hate to be out there 100 deep in line on top of water on a personal level. I would not want to be in that kind of situation. That to me is the worst kind of traffic jam. But worse than that, the goods can't be unloaded And this is a huge problem around the world that I know we have not seen it in my lifetime. Psalm 51:6 says that God desireth truth in the inward parts. When we come before God, we must be aware that we are coming before the God of heaven, who is concerned about the attitude of our heart. I have told members of my family, I appreciate the work that you have done and that you're doing, but your heart is not right. You have a bad attitude. Reminds me of a young, beautiful woman. She's on the internet. She said, I get so tickled when men say, oh, she's so pretty. And look at her long hair, and she's so beautiful, and she's so fine. And then she does this number. Yeah, that might be the case, but I have a nasty attitude. So you can deal with me if you want to. It reminds me of another lady who was going on a date, and they were going to the limousine. And the man said, oh, you look so beautiful tonight. And she said, well, I may look beautiful, but I am not beautiful on the inside. Something to that effect. Well, God is concerned about you being beautiful on the inside. I think many, many parents have failed their children in getting them ready for life and for marriage. I believe that many parents are the blame for some of the divorces of their children, because you've got to emphasize as a parent, it doesn't matter how you feel or what you think or your mood swings, or whether or not your period is on, or your period is coming on, or whatever. You've got to learn how to get a hold of yourself. Now, you can do it if you want to. That has been proven. You can turn it on for that job for 8 hours. You know why? Because you want that paycheck, regardless of how you feel. You can turn it on for a 3-hour date with a man or a woman, and you can be just charming and sweet and wonderful because you're trying to get that man or you're trying to get that woman. But God wants you to be right on the inside. He wants you to have the right kind of heart, spirit, and attitude from your heart. It's got to be real. And what's wrong in the church today is people like to go through the motions. There's a whole lot of talk about church. There's a magnificent, well-written article right now online about the importance of people going to church and how that many people are leaving church and so forth. But throughout the article, they hardly spoke about the need for getting their hearts right with the Lord and repenting of their sins. They talk about how the people will become sick and ill because they will not have a connection with other people. See? And I've been telling you this for years. People go to church for the wrong reasons. Most people go to church because it is a social connection thing. They feel lonely. And they want to be with somebody. They want to be connected with people. And it's a social gathering and get together. And that's That's fine. But that's not the main reason why you go to church. You go to church to worship God and get ready to serve God and get ready to serve God. And the glue that holds the church together is the great commandment and the great commission and the gifts that God has given everybody to work together. It's not about coffee shop fellowships. It's not about gathering, getting together just to see each other and make everybody feel good about themselves. That's another thing that the church is big on. The business of making people feel good, at least momentarily. And some people are so gullible. And I it's sad to say, especially some women, where they will believe the lies of the devil just like they'll believe the lies of a man. And there are some women who would rather, listen to me, there are some women who would rather for a man to lie to them, to make them feel good momentarily, than to tell the truth so that they can feel good whether he's there or not, and for the rest of their lives. I'm afraid that many preachers, many pastors, are in the feel-good business. It's like, you know, the good feeling we get from a hour and a half movie, you know. It's a momentary thing. It's a temporary thing. It does not stay with us. It's not like rice and beans and some beef. It is like, cotton candy. Candy apples. I mean, you know, you can't live off of candy apples. The apple is good. But you can't live off of candy apples and cotton candy. I still don't know what cotton candy is. Did I love it as a child? Yes. Crazy about it. But I still don't know what in the world is cotton candy. You know that can't be good. No wonder most of us have diabetes. We ate some crazy things. Did you love candied apples and caramel apples? And oh, yes. That's why some of us don't have any teeth today. But none of that stuff is good for you. And it's just temporary. But when we were children, we thought it was everything. That's not what church is about. See, if the church is not joined together around the great commandment and the great commission every day, all day, and prayer, and the basics and the fundamentals, you get into the business of a social club. You get into the business of the feel-good business, making people feel good, temporary fixes that don't last. But if you engage in what Jesus left us to do and get the whole church to do it, and you feel kind of out of it if you don't do it, if you coming up in there trying to feel good yourself, when you ought to be feeling good every day of your life, whether you're at the church or not, whether the preacher says something to encourage you or not. See, because that is what will happen to everybody in the church if they were engaged, led by the pastor, in the matter of loving God and putting God first and praying to God and Jesus and witnessing to the lost, getting together to truly pray and not to play. I hope that things like Awana's has helped people. I hope. It really didn't help my children. It was just a playtime, just just a socializing time. It didn't help. I have not seen much, any good results, rather, from things like Awana and Patch the Pirate. And is Patch the Pirate just another Santa Claus? That people, the people of God, have created to get our minds off, get our children's minds off of Jesus? What in the world are we doing? Church is not for us to come together as a social club and to see who's there and a glorified dating thing. Who we can hook with this tight dress, or who we can hook with these skinny jeans for a little Sunday afternoon sex. Who can I invite over? It's not about that, man. And that's why the church is in a mess and in disarray today. Dr. Richard Land asked a question the other day. Now, how did we get off track? How far are we off track? As God's people. I think that the early church would not even recognize us as the church today. If the Antioch Christians were to come to visit the churches today, first of all, they wouldn't even know what your name means, evangelical, or Baptist, or Methodist. They wouldn't know. What is that? We were first called Christians. We didn't call ourselves Christians. They called us Christians because we were acting like Jesus. We were acting like followers of Christ. We didn't call ourselves anything. Other people did. And they were probably saying, I don't know what to call you people. Patch the Pirate, Awanas. I believe they would say, you're destroying your children's lives with all of this stuff. They need to be in church with their parents. Or say, but you don't want to do that, because that'll cause your crowd to go down, because you're not teaching the parents to train their children to act right, and they want to use your church as a glorified babysitter. They'll use any, listen to me, people today will use the school, will use the rec center, youth center, youth club, boys clubs, girls clubs, and they'll use your church as long as you provide some daycare for them, so they can do what they want to do and be free. Some just want to be free of their children for an hour, and they'll use your poor workers back in the daycare, back in the nursery, as we call it. And they'll just have to sit there in church and sip coffee and have a good old time, laugh and giggle at what the preacher says. And then afterwards, now it's time for fellowship. Now it's time for some booty shaking and see who I can roll with. I got four kids over there already in the glorified daycare center. Let me see who I can hook so I can have my fifth child. The devil is a lie. And you just hang around, and they'll hang around for another hour, fellowshipping. They call it fellowshipping and trying to hook up and trying to be with somebody and trying to find out something about somebody, and leave the children back there with the poor, faithful daycare workers or nursery workers who don't have children. And so, beloved, if we have a false heart or a wicked heart, our prayers will not be answered, because God is nobody to play with. And see, some of you have that mentality. I don't know who you think God is. I just don't. You people, I'll be calling him daddy and my daddy upstairs and the man upstairs and all this. I don't know who y'all are. I don't know who you all are talking about. Y'all are talking about Santa Claus, Satan Claus. You're not talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, you're not talking about the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. You people, you think you're dealing with some kind of old grandfather who does not know what's going on, man. He made you. God does not even have to think about what you're doing. He knows what you're doing. And he knows what you are about. If anybody can see right through you, God can. And yet you still try to play with God. You still try to fool God. Some of you try to hide sin from God. And you don't want to pray to God because you know that you got sin in your life. We should pray in faith, believing with a pure heart. Hebrews 11:6. And I want you, this is a verse that back in the day you would put on an index card, write the reference on the back, and you hide it in your heart. You need to get this. If you don't get anything else I say, get this. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that God is. He is the great I am. Have you noticed that God does not try to prove to people? Now, God is invisible, but he does not try to prove to people who he is. You better believe. See, God is so awesome that he is invisible, and he expects you to believe in him based upon what you know from the Word of God and what you can see. Now, you look around. My wife and I and my youngest son and I, we were out early this morning before the sun arose up, went out, and we live in a very quiet neighborhood. And I love quiet. I love peace. We can go outside any time of the night, any time of the day, and I'm so thankful. We hardly ever see anybody or hear anything, especially in the wee hours of the morning, like we did this morning, and we look up at the sky. You better believe that somebody made that. His name is God. And you better recognize, as the young people say. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. See? And this ought to change your mentality. Some of you who claim to be Christians, walking around here full of evil and sin, nasty attitudes, hateful towards other people, abusive, mean, a liar, selfish, only concerned about yourself. You have made yourself a little G-God. It's all about you. Not about God, not about anybody, all about you. You better recognize that God made you. You better recognize that you need to be humble. Yes, go boldly to the throne of grace, but go humbly. Because God is somebody that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God will reward you. God will bless you in his way. And in his time. But you better recognize who you're dealing with. You got to come with a true heart. You've got to come with a pure heart. You can't play with God. This is why God is shutting down your churches, because you're coming to him playing, trying to play with him, playing hide and go seek. God ain't looking for you like that. Coming to church, raising up your whoremongering, whorish, unholy hands. Even the mothers in the church carrying on, mentoring young women to be little whores, dressed like whores. That's how you get that man, honey. Now she doesn't have a man. She had four men. And she has a Bo Peep that comes by about twice a month now because she's older. Nobody knows about it, but, you know, the pastor knows, and the pastor's wife, they know, and they let it go on. But she's respected in the church and tells the other young ladies, hey, that's what you need to wear right there. Oh, he's not acting right. You withhold things from him. That's how you do it. Unholy, ungodly, wicked men who are whoremongers in the church, playing church instead of praying, playing, and everybody just going on with it. And you did this in front of God's face, and thousands of the pastors and the bishops and the pastors' wives and the people in the pews who were engaged in ungodliness and sin are dead. Because they were giving communion and taking communion. And you didn't believe what God warned you about. Do not take communion unworthily. God is all about, Jesus is all about you confessing your sins and repenting of your sins and getting your heart right with God and acting like you believe he is, because he is all by himself. He is nobody to toy with. Contrary to what many people believe, that, oh, God is so forgiving, you know, grace. See, this is what has been taught. This super grace thing where you can just sin, you can be a lesbian, you can be a homosexual, you can be an adulterer, you can be a fornicator in the church today, and you just cry grace. And then as you rebuke that evil, wickedness and sin, you call a legalist. And in the Christian church, legalist is like a curse word. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. Seriously. And I don't know where you got that from, but you didn't get it here. It's a lie. And many, many people have messed up their lives, sinning all week long. Having sex with two and three people a week. Some just having sex with one person outside of marriage. Some are committing adultery. Some are swinging. Some are committing fornication. Some are getting pregnant and having abortions. Doing the abortion themselves from the drugstore. But falling there on Sunday morning, you know, they have a little position in the church. They have a title, and they fall off into the church on Sunday morning and play with God. And God is looking at you. See, we may not be able to keep up with you everywhere you go and what you're doing, but God is watching you. And God will tell on you if you persist in your evil. He will expose you. Because you have the wrong idea about God. You need to come before Him. Yes, He invites you to come boldly to the throne of grace, but not with sin in your hand. Not with stink on you. Because God can see and God can hear and God can smell. He can tell where you've been at and what you've been doing. See? And God is very merciful, very loving, very long-suffering. But after a while, God will get tired of you trying to play Him. He does not want you to foolishly think that you can play Him. That's the height of hubris, which is above pride. We are told in James, the praying in an unbelieving manner means that we will not receive what we are asking for. James says in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think, or that woman think, that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you want to come before God like that with no faith, you don't believe in God, you're not praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with faith in Him, you're just saying words. You don't mean what you pray, and you don't pray what you mean. You're just going through the motions, hoping that God will somehow hear it and answer your prayer. Now, you can't come to God like that. That's what this series is about. How we should approach God. One thing I know is you cannot approach God playing with God, lying to God, trying to drag your wicked, evil sin to the throne of grace. You won't even get near the throne of grace, particularly if you claim to be a child of God, thinking that you can play God, play with God. You can do your wickedness and your evil in your marriage and in your family, on the job and in the community. And think that God does not see you. And God does not know what's going on. That's foolishness. That is the height of foolishness. You steal your family members' money. You steal and you rob. And you think that you can come before God and be blessed. You can, just by going to church, you can be blessed. Listen to me. If church is not connected to the Great Commandment, the Great Commission, and prayer, you're not having church. I don't know what you're doing. It's a social club. That's what you want. The people just make you feel good. You like being around. You like to be someplace where things are happening. You like the loud music, and it just makes you feel good, like you're at a rock concert. That's not church, people. Oh, you can't wait for the carnival and all of that, the Halloween carnival. No witnessing, no soul winning, no trying to lead people to Jesus. You just want to be around the people. You want somebody to say hello to you, oh, you look pretty, or you look cute, and all kind of mess like that. God has shut that down because that's not church. Yeah, some of you have not really been in church for the past 30 years. You just going to a social club to see and to be seen. To talk to others and to have others talk to you. And sad to say, and I love my pastor brethren, but they can easily get off track. And there are some good pastors who know that about their pastor friends and themselves. They can get off track by trying to please the people. Like the priest did in the Old Testament, and the prophet had to come and correct the priests. It's not about pleasing the people, it's about pleasing God. And so we have many pastors who understand that social element, and they feed into that, and they feed you into it. They love setting up things where some dating can go on, glorified dating or ministries. They understand the fellowship, I mean the social dynamic. And so they create things, for example, like divorce care, which needs to be erased from the history of the church. Should never have been put in the church. Many churches have signs out in front of their church. Not John 3:16. Not how to get saved. If you want to know how to get saved, come here. Blazing across the front of the church, big old signs. Say, we have a divorce care ministry. And look at the mess we have in the church today because of that. Look at the families that have been destroyed because of that. And that's why your church is shut down. Or it should be shut down. I know some of you are still trying to keep it going. With these phony shots and so-called distancing, and people are still dying. I like what the pastor said up in Washington, D.C. He said, I don't believe it's God's will that anybody gets sick at Alpha Street Baptist Church. That's not what God wants. And so we're not going to be a part of it. And so he... And by the way, he just came off of a sabbatical. Maybe that's the reason why he's so spiritual about this. He understands that this is God's agenda right now. It's not his, but it's God's agenda. And he understands how to humble himself and submit and just wait on God. Not try to force it. If it doesn't fit, don't force it. Dr. F.B. Meyer said, faith is our power of appropriation. Now that's deep. I mean, F.B. Meyer is deep. So you may have to wait for the freight to come in. This may have to come in by freight. And if it, you know, in this day and time, it may be 100 days from now, but you understand what I'm saying. You might have to wait on it. It won't come in overnight when you're dealing with F.B. Meyer. I've been dealing with F.B. Meyer for many years. And he's always deep, deep. It is a pity, he says, that we are so slow to make use of our Lord's resources. Always remember now, God, he invites you to boldly come to his throne of grace. But just remember now, he wants you to come right. See, this little super grace that these people are talking about today, that's not what he's talking about. That's not what God is talking about. Because if you think you can just come any kind of way to God, to his throne of grace, and you're living in sin, and you're trying to force your sin into the church, you won't get anywhere with God like that. And every born-again Christian knows it. He does not force himself upon us, though he brings with him gold tried in the fire, that we may be enriched, and white raiment for our clothing, and eye salve for our blindness, because we can't see. We got the blind leading the blind. Do you know most pastors have not figured it out yet? Most pastors don't know. When this plague hit, they didn't know what to do. They've been reading each other's blogs, trying to find out what to do. And the blind leading the blind, and they're stumbling all over the place, killing the people in the church. And by the way, for the first time ever, what? You know, the brash, Trump-like president of Brazil, a beautiful country, by the way, they are setting him up, and they're moving things forward, so that they can charge him, watch this, because he mishandled this plague, this coronavirus plague, with all of that brash, gung-ho talk, and we're going to beat this thing, and it's nothing, and so forth, and so on, and just foolishness. And I'm going to check on this today as to the pace that this thing is increasing, because more variants are popping up. There's a major new variant that came out of the Delta variant that is worse than the Delta variant, called, I think it's new, NU, I believe. That's in the news today, right now as I speak. Then there's another variant out of Louisiana. Is it the same one? Is that the same one or different? It's a different variant. And so I'm going to look up today at the pace this thing is going. Is it going to catch up with the bubonic plague that shut down the church too? The priests could not help the people. The church could not help the people because the bubonic plague was killing the priests and the ministers just as fast, if not faster in some places, because they were playing church. It wiped out half of Europe. And nobody wants to tell the truth, but this thing is wiping out millions of people. Millions. It's not over 600,000 or 700,000 in America. It's probably more like 2 million people have died in America. But they don't want to tell you the truth. They want to tell you the truth after the fact, when they think you can take it better. Blindness. And we have many pastors today who are blind. They don't know what to do. They don't know what time it is. And they're the blind leading the blind, putting the sheep in danger. But anyway, they're going to charge this president with homicide. Unheard of. Because in his proud, brash, gung-ho way and manner of telling people that this is nothing, it's just like the flu and all other stuff, he misled the people. And right now, they have people looking at charging him for murder of over at least 300,000 people. What? And pastor, they're going to charge you too. They're going to charge you for murder because you told the people to go to the church and they got sick and they died. Because you're more concerned about your agenda and keeping your little kingdom afloat than you are about God and what God wants right now. And always remember now your favorite verse, all things work together for the good to them who love God. So you need to come off of your little kingdom, off of your little agenda, and get on God's agenda, because nothing's going to change unless God causes it to change. You can't stop God, and you can't stop this. And if the courts don't get you, Junebug is going to get you. Who is Junebug? Junebug is Sister Bessie's grandmother. And Junebug has never trusted you in the first place because he saw you at the club or somewhere. And Junebug does not trust you anyway. And if Grandma Bessie dies because you force her to come out to the church, or you invited her to come out to the church so that you can get some more money, Junebug gonna find you. Because Junebug does not care. He's a part of a gang himself. And he does not believe in God yet. So you better be careful and go with what God has got going on. And God is not interested in your little kingdom that you're trying to build. You ought to lovingly tell the people to stay home and watch me online. And some churches have grown leaps and bounds because the church will go on without a building and without meeting at the building. Right now, God does not want you to meet in a building, especially you black folks. A whole lot of us are dying. And though he knows how urgently we need these things, he will not force them on our acceptance. Rather, he stands and knocks as a traveling merchant, if you will, knocks at the door. Who has wares to dispose of? And we need to open the door and receive the gifts which are offered without money and without price. Ladies and gentlemen, we are invited by God to go to his throne of grace boldly. But when we go, we need to go right, with the right heart, a true heart, a right spirit, the right attitude, the right mentality, and without sin. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, we thank you for the invite to come to your throne of grace. And I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to come for many years now. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. As you know, Lord, my wife and I and my son and I were praying this morning, early this morning, while the girls were still asleep. And Lord, I just marvel at being at your throne of grace. It is the most special time of my day. I cannot imagine a better place to be. And I thank you for allowing me and all of us, and inviting all of us to come to your throne of grace. Help all of us to take advantage of it by doing it your way, with a pure heart and a clean conscience and a right spirit, and with your love in our hearts for you and others, with all sins confessed and repented of by your grace. so that our prayers can be heard on high and answered, and so that we can be blessed here below. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and Lord, we also pray for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you are with us today on this Wednesday and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the free pardon of your sins, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand with me that you are a sinner just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments. We all have. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all sinned against God. Please remember that Jesus Christ died for your sin. So any theology or any prophet or preacher who tells you that sin is okay and you know you can just live on and go on with life and it's not going to bother you is a liar. Sin is bad. Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Sin is a big problem that can keep you out of heaven and cause you to go to hell. So acknowledge that you are a sinner. Admit that you are a sinner. You say, preacher, what do you mean sin? How about lying? How about stealing, robbing others? How about murder? How about lusting after people and things, coveting what other people have? How about dishonoring your parents, disobeying your parents, hating your parents, dishonoring God by taking his name in vain? Did I find you yet? We all have sin, including you. Including the Pope, including the Dalai Lama, and all other holy people, including even Joel Osteen, the pastor of the largest church in America. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Colin Powell just died, had a great life. Evidently a great wife, great marriage, great children, great privileges and opportunities. By the way, the best medical care in the world on the military side and on the civilian side. He had it all. And yet he just died. If he died as healthy as he was, you're going to die too. And all that matters right now is whether or not he was saved. If he was saved, he's in heaven with the Lord. Oh, he did many good works. He was a good man. He did many good things. But it's not based upon that, though. And I hope that he never depended on that to get saved. Your good works cannot save you. And he was a good man, better than most. Most people, Republicans and Democrats, wanted him to be president of the United States. Someone said that he was the greatest president America never had. But yet he died. A great man, a good man, apparently a good husband and a good father. But he's gone, never to come by this way again. And what a life. And if he died, you're going to die. We die, why? Because of our sinful nature. Yes, even Colin Powell was a sinner. Our sinful nature And because of our sinful nature, we sin all of the time. Evil thoughts, evil imaginations, evil attitudes, not liking people. Have you ever seen somebody or met somebody you just didn't like them? That's your sinful nature. Now, God loves them, but you don't. We choose to sin. We choose to sin and to do evil. The wages of sin is death. In other words, your paycheck at the end of your life is going to be death. Now, that's terrible. Your body will go to a grave. We will probably hear more about Colin Powell's funeral today. His big, tall, strong, heroic body will be lowered into a cold, dark earth. One day soon. Your body will go to a grave too, but your soul, and by the way, Colin Powell is still alive somewhere, either in heaven or hell. I hope in heaven. Billy Graham talked to him. I hope Billy Graham led him to the Lord. Your soul will go to hell if you refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So thirdly, please understand, my dear friend, that you need to accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, and I read this and I share this with you, because I want you to know that Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the most loving man who walked on earth, the kindest man who walked on earth, the man who fed thousands of hungry people, the man who healed the sick, the man who raised the dead. Jesus Christ was a hellfire and brimstone preacher, whether you like it or not. He preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he wanted you to believe in him and take advantage of salvation that he died for. He suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for our sins so that we can be saved from the hell that we deserve. That's how bad sin is. And as I said earlier this week, if God will allow you to suffer the tragedy and the pain and the punishment of death, then God will allow you to go to hell if that's your choice, if you choose to do so. If you refuse to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus Christ said, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Everlasting fire. If you don't want to experience everlasting fire, you say, "Preacher, I don't like the fact that you're trying to scare me." Where am I scaring you to? Hell number one, hell number two, or hell number three? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. That's all I do. That's all true preachers do. We tell you what Jesus Christ said. And you have to deal with that. I'm just a beggar telling other beggars where the bread is. I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody. That's all. I'm just repeating what he said. You're going to hell if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him and receive him as your Savior. And hell is a very real place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. And hell is bad news. But I do have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. For Jesus Christ said the most loving, most wonderful, most powerful, and most important words ever said to humankind in the history of the world. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's very simple. There's nothing hard about salvation. And just understand that it's not by your works of righteousness that you have done. You cannot work your way to heaven, and this is a hard thing for proud human beings to accept. We all want to do something to save ourselves, and we cannot save ourselves. You must be saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, in hell, but have everlasting life. Dear friend, just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Now that's a great deal. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't pay your way to heaven. You cannot do anything to get saved. All you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid it all. He did it all. He went through hell and went to hell for you. He is the eternal sacrificial Passover lamb for the whole world, Jews and Gentiles. He lived a holy and perfect life. He never sinned in word, thought, or deed. And then he voluntarily, because of his love, his mercy, and his grace, he voluntarily suffered, bled, and died on the tree, on the cross for you and me. Was buried, but never forget, he rose on the third day, really, one Sunday morning. And the devil had been mad all of these years, and I'm glad that God will love a sinner like me, a wretch like me, and like you. Just humble yourself and believe in him. You say, "Well, preacher, I hear you. You have almost persuaded me to be a Christian, but let me go and try to clean my life up and come on back." No, that's a trick of the devil. That's what the devil's telling you to do. First of all, you're not going to clean your life up. You can't. And that's not how it works. The idea is to come to Jesus Christ first, and then he will help you clean your life up. He did it for me. He'll do it for you. He's done it for millions. And it's quite an amazing thing. Once you give your life to Christ, once you believe in Christ, how that he takes over. And I guarantee you, he will get you on a journey and put you on a journey that you can't even begin to imagine. And I mean that. I mean it. Oh, and it will be a journey. And it is a beautiful thing. I've never met a Christian who regretted becoming a Christian. Never. And I've preached all over the world. It's the greatest thing that you can do. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy. It's not. I'm not going to tell you everybody in your family is going to be happy. They will not be. I'm not going to tell you that you're not going to lose friends, because you will. I'm not going to tell you you're going to get a big fine house on Pork Chop Hill, because you probably won't. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to drive a Mercedes or a Bentley, because you probably won't. But I will tell you that God is good. I will tell you that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. I will tell you that he'll make you content and at peace and full of joy, even in the midst of tribulation. And then he'll tell you to be cheerful, even though you're going through. That's how God and Jesus has been with me for over 41 years. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. I have never lost the joy of the Lord and the peace that passes all understanding. And so you can have that too in this life and heaven as well, and not go to hell by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Pray with me right now. Call on his name. Ask him to save you. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. And to be with God. And you talk about love. God is love. You will never regret believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and repenting of your sins. So call on his name, as the Bible says, and pray with me, and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul. I will help you to pray the sinner's prayer, which I talked with you about a few minutes ago. As you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. This is your opportunity to go boldly to the throne of grace and get your soul saved. Get your eternal life insurance policy already paid for in full through the blood of Christ. Let's pray together. Holy Father God, I admit that I am a sinner, as the preacher said. I have committed many sins in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. And I understand that I deserve to go to hell for eternity. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. Please forgive me of all of my sins because of your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who I believe suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit, and save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, and help me to truly repent of all of my sins, to turn from my wicked ways, and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life that you have provided for me, with your help and your grace. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you and brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, for those of you who pray that prayer with me, if you just trust that Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, that is the Holy Bible that I just preached to you, You are now saved from hell, and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friends. Congratulations on believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life, and that is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, until next time, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is our prayer. For all of you who are saved and those who got saved today, if you want to have a good day, keep your mind on the Lord and He'll keep you in perfect peace. One of the ways that you can keep your mind on the Lord is to pray without ceasing and meditate on His Word. And if the Lord tarries His coming, and we live, we'll be back here tomorrow morning around 8 o'clock. And we'll be glad to have you. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father, God in heaven, thank you so much for inviting us to come to the throne of grace boldly. Thank you for telling us that we need to come right, and we need to come believing, and reminding us of that, many of us, some of us for the first time, we heard it today. And so Lord, help us to do that, and then we will not need to be pumped up. We will not need for a temporary fix, if we can always come to your throne of grace, not depending upon man or woman, but you, and getting along with you and filled with your power to be a blessing to thousands, to millions. Lord, help us all to be a blessing and not always seeking something. Help us, Lord, to obey your great commandment and your great commission, and to pray without ceasing, and to witness to those who are lost. We pray for millions around the world to get saved, as all of us are facing death like never before. It is imminent for all of us. Help us to remember that. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for His sake, amen. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time.